Next is an excerpt from a class in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, text number 17, given on May 23, 1996, in Boston.
Translation. O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj aspired to engage in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. After the death of his father, who was materially very opulent, Prahlad would have inherited his father's property, which extended throughout the world. But Prahlad Maharaj was not inclined to accept such material opulence. For whether one is in the heavenly or hellish planets, or is a rich or a poor man's son, material conditions are everywhere. Therefore, no condition of life is at all pleasing. If one wants the uncontaminated pleasure of blissful life, he must engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Material opulence may be somewhat pleasing for the time being, but to come to that temporary pleasing condition, one must work extremely hard. When a poor man is rich, he may be better situated, but to come to that position, he had to accept many miseries. The fact is that in material life, whether one is miserable or happy, both conditions are miserable. If one actually wants happy, blissful life, one must become Krishna conscious and constantly engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the real remedy. The entire world is under the illusion that people will be happy by advancing the materialistic measures to counteract the miseries of conditional life. But this attempt will never be successful. Humanity must be trained to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. There can be no happiness in changing one's material conditions, for everywhere there is trouble and misery. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pastata Desatari. In this verse by Prahlad Maharaj, I see three main ingredients. First is a statement about the combination of pleasing and displeasing circumstances and separation from them, which in the Sanskrit is two sets of opposite words, priya, apriya, viyoga, samyoga. I'll explain each of these, but the second ingredient in the verse is the statement that in order to get out of this priya, apriya, samyoga, viyoga, misery, we take some remedy. But in material life, the remedy turns out to be not only ineffective, but we become worse than we were before we took the remedy. And then the third element in the verse is that material life being so unhappy, there is no real remedy except one, and that is to engage in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And so Prahlad is asking to be instructed how to do that. So this first point, when I saw it in the verse, I remembered reading this in another purport where I think Prabhupada explains it even more clearly than in the verse here. In the first canto, in one purport, he paraphrases this very same verse that we're studying today. In other words, he says that he he puts it, he says, Prahlad Maharaj says, and then rather than translate word by word in the Sanskrit, he just speaks out of his realization and memory of the verse. And it's a very wonderful paraphrase. It's First Canto, chapter 19, text 20, where the sages are congratulating Maharaj Parikshit for giving up his throne in order to achieve eternal association with the Lord by hearing about Krishna in his last days. So Prabhupada comments that what the king did, that's very unusual. Most kings, they just stick in their position right into the end. They're not interested in going back to Godhead, as I was talking last night, going back to the spiritual world. Now here's the paraphrase. Going back to Godhead is the highest achievement. Prahlad Maharaj, while praying to Lord Nrisimha, said, quote, O my Lord, I am very much afraid of the materialistic way of life, and I am not the least afraid of your present, ghastly, ferocious feature, as Nrisimha did. This materialistic way of life is something like a grinding stone, and we are being crushed by it. That's the verse yesterday. We have fallen into this horrible whirlpool of the tossing waves of life, and thus, my Lord, I pray at your lotus feet to call me back to your eternal abode as one of your servitors. This is the summit liberation of this materialistic way of life. I have very bitter experience of the materialistic way of life. In whichever species of life I have taken birth, compelled by the force of my activities, there's that acceptance of karma as the reason why we are all here. So in whichever species I've taken birth, I have very painfully experienced two things, namely, separation from my beloved and meeting with what is not wanted. So this is, in the verse, at least for me, it was a little hard to understand exactly what was being combined, what was being separated, and why it was also displeasing. But here he says, the separation is from my beloved. So that certainly causes us pain in the material world. When you finally do get some good relationship, mostly we think of with a person who becomes our husband and wife or a very dear friend. The beloved could also be some object, like a place, a country, a job, my beloved. So life is full of so much unhappiness, but we get solace by the beloved. But I experience, he says, a separation from the beloved. That's the nature of material life. That very thing that becomes beloved to me gets taken away from me, and for some reason I'm separated from it. And then on the other hand, the unmitigated misery is that while the thing I want is taken away, all of a sudden in my path, things I don't want are coming at me. These are the two things. This is like his sum up of the pains of material life. So there's so many things that we meet with that we don't want, all of a sudden, or gradually. Whether it's some terminal disease that suddenly comes to us or to somebody else, or along the way something less than that every day. Something's coming up, some bill that we have to pay, some traffic jam, some person that we don't want to see. All these things are coming up at us that we don't want. Those we meet with, and the sweet things are taken away. Now, if you say, well, this is very, very pessimistic, it is pessimistic, meaning a negative view, a view that says there's no happiness here. But it's not done, it's not exaggerated emotion. Rather, it's done by the Vaishnava to clear the way completely of all these illusions so that we can actually be happy. As long as you're maintaining some illusory happiness, then how will you ever find true happiness? You'll have to keep being fooled. And when you wake up from your illusory happiness, there's another pain. So let's just get rid of it all concept that I can be happy by these other things, and then I'm eligible for spiritual life. This is the qualification for serious spiritual life. But people who attach to the material world, when they hear the uncompromising teachings of all spiritual teachers, they find it's too much. They want happiness out of the natural urge, but they look for it in the wrong place. In fact, Prabhupada writes somewhere that admitting that there is a feeling of happiness for material things, that very feeling of happiness is the greatest enemy of the jiva. Because he thinks, well, I don't have to go back to Godhead. I don't have to try to give up these material activities because I'm finding there is happiness here. So that is keeping him from serious surrender. He doesn't really think it's such a bad deal. Birth, death, disease, and old age, like the scriptures say. It's not really that bad. Because I'm getting some happiness in this way and that way. So that becomes his enemy, that sense of happiness. So, granted, everyone will admit that there's a lot of problems in life, but people are trying in different ways to find remedies for it. Let me finish this paraphrase verse. I have painfully experienced two things, namely separation from my beloved and meeting with what is not wanted. And to counteract them, the remedies which I undertook were more dangerous than the disease itself. So I drift from one point to another, birth after birth, and I pray to you, therefore, to give me a shelter at your lotus feet. So the second ingredient was the remedy being worse, and then the disease itself. And I recall also another time when Prabhupada spoke about that. And I recorded it in Prabhupada Lilamrita. This was when Prabhupada was in America after he had his heart stroke and he came out of the hospital. He was in the hospital in Manhattan. So we took him immediately to try to get some rest out of the city to a little bungalow that we found in Long Branch, New Jersey. And so one day we were, a small group of us was sitting there on the beach with Prabhupada, and he was talking, sitting on a blanket spread on the sand. He noticed some boys with surfboards trying to ride the waves. They think this is bliss, playing in the water, he said. Actually, there is some bliss there, but it is not ananda, the bliss of the spiritual world. On Krishna Loka, everything is conscious. The water is conscious, the land is conscious, and everything is blissful. Here, that is not so. Devotees looked with him at the surfers bobbing in the sea. Yes, a devotee said, and also here it is dangerous. At any moment, one of the surfboards could jump up and hit them on the head. Yes, Srila Prabhupada said, this is not real ananda. Prahlad Maharaj has said, and here's the reference, that this material world is crushing him like a grinding wheel of repeated birth and death. He says that in the material life, he experiences either separation from what is beloved to him or meeting up with an obstacle he doesn't want. And in order to combat this condition, the remedy he takes is even worse than the disease. LSD is like that, a remedy worse than the disease. So that was a timely reference to the intoxicating drug so popular. But there are more common ones of improvements over material inconveniences that turn out to be to bring you to a worse condition than you were by the inconvenience. Although this may be controversial or hard to accept, many do accept it, like, and we certainly can see it, that even something as essential to life as the car, automobile, to speed up our connection between places, causes so many inconveniences, so many more deaths on the highway. It will be coming up Memorial Day weekend. And they'll predict it, not out of any prophetic abilities, but they'll just predict, knowing from all the past Memorial Days, how many hundreds and hundreds of people will die trying to drive somewhere to enjoy themselves. So this is the, and then the petrol or the gasoline has caused so many problems, even up to international war and strife, to get the fuel for the car. So actually are we better off than we were without it? Of course, there's no question of turning back, but still, a sane person can analyze this. And with similar other conveniences like the airplane and other things like that, we're locked in to a society that has taken on so many remedies that has put us in worse condition. the disease, it's a disease, you have a disease, and you take a remedy. So the disease, you could say in one sense, like what is the disease that led to the car and the airplane and so on? It's a disease of not being satisfied with natural life. That's a kind of disease. A disease of not being able to tolerate the condition that you had. Let me get some fix. Let me get some improvement. And then you try it and it's worse. So much allopathic medicine is like that. And side effects make it worse. So so much of it is driven by greed, that you have enough to get by, but you want more, and you want more, and so you throw yourself into so much hard work, and you don't really get a better position. But your disease was you couldn't tolerate, you couldn't be satisfied with what was coming to you very naturally. So we think then, if we agree with this, why take such remedy? But neither do we want to suffer. So the whole thing is very complicated chain of action and reaction, individually and on a whole worldwide population. Better just get out of it, especially in Kali Yuga. Get out and go back to Godhead. Get out and become Krishna conscious. So by coming to America and spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere, Prabhupada has given us this method to escape. We are escapists from the jail sentence, from the suffering condition. So who should not want to escape? And so the method of escaping is to engage in Krishna's service. Now, this brings release from involvement in so many things that bring suffering, and ultimately brings you release from birth and death. Of course, we may ask that, well, don't devotees also, especially in the stage that we're in, just practicing devotees, still with some material impressions and affected still by material modes sometimes. Don't we also feel suffering, separation from the beloved and meeting up with what we don't want and all this? It's true, but our situation is certainly different. Whereas the other situation is pessimistic, ours is optimistic. Even as we suffer on a kind of practicing Krishna consciousness by the trouble that we take to surrender to Krishna. So it's a good credit. It's a cleansing. It's called tapasya or austerity. Taking trouble voluntarily to serve Krishna will also bring things on your path that you don't like. Someone who doesn't like Krishna consciousness will come and say, don't practice Krishna consciousness. So this is an obstacle on the path. But we're doing it for Krishna, so there's a different quality. Both in the fact that we're eventually being released of all suffering, and also even immediately it's felt It can be felt not only in a righteous sense, but in a kind of blissful sense, that the devotee is thinking, all right, I'm doing this for Krishna. I wanted to be Krishna conscious. Now it's really coming down on me because of my commitment to Krishna consciousness. I'm doing the right thing, but I'm meeting with trouble. Let it come. This will be for my advancement. It can feel this. Whereas when you suffer without spiritual commitment, it's just futile. So that leads to suicide. Why suffer? Why go on? Why go on? That's different. And you can all, it would be obvious the comment we could make on the devotee's version of separation from the beloved. That can be exalted up to the feeling of separation from Krishna. And that separation from the beloved is the highest form of ecstasy, viparlamba, viraha. No, in the beginning even, we feel some of that. That why do I have to stay in this material world being away from Krishna? And we chant Hare Krishna like Prahlad Maharaj. Please call me. When will you call me to your lotus feet? I can get out of this rotten material world. Therefore, we may consider this realistically, not that it's just some rhetoric, that material life is unhappy and spiritual life you're always happy. But yes, spiritual life we struggle, but it is the worthwhile struggle. In connection with this, I would like to follow up on a question that came yesterday, I think from Bhakta Chris, about, it's a perennial question, about does a devotee want to go back to Godhead, or does he want to stay in this world and serve Krishna here, and is one higher than the other? It's certainly connected to this topic, because Prahlad Maharaj is stressing that this is a bad place, and we should get out of this place and go back to Godhead. So, I answered the question yesterday by trying to defuse it as any kind of debate, but rather say that it's these are both Vaishnava realizations, and the state of, they both refer to and they both advocate liberation from material life. But whereas one stresses actually transferring to the spiritual abode, the other says that if you engage in pure Krishna consciousness, that is the essence of going to the spiritual abode. Your body doesn't have to, you don't have to get a spiritual body. In this body, you can live in your spiritual body within. Think of the spiritual world by hearing and chanting and serving Krishna, glorifying, kirtan. So aren't they the same? They both describe liberation in Krishna consciousness. But there's further elaboration on this, describing the attitude of the devotee and the attitude of the Lord about this. And this is in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 25. If you want to note it down, it's text 37, 38, 39. And they're like Mahavakya passages here. Mahavakya means main verses or main proofs for some discussion, where you find sometimes one opinion is stated, then another opinion is stated, even in the scripture. Or you find things in the scripture that are not central. But when you find a verse that really makes everything clear, like Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, of all the incarnations, Krishna is the first, the source, that's called Mahavakya. So I think this is important for this discussion about whether a devotee should aspire to go back to Godhead, or Janmani, Janmani, Ishvara, he should just say, I don't want to go back to Godhead. I just want to serve you life after life. So Lord Kapila is Lord Kapila is speaking as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. about his devotee. He says about his devotee, he's completely absorbed in thought of me, and he does not desire even the highest benediction obtainable in the upper planetary systems. He does not even desire to be elevated to the kingdom of God. Yet, even without desiring them, the devotee enjoys, even in this life, all the offered benedictions. Well, Prabhupada comments that Lord Chaitanya says that he doesn't want anything, that's that verse, Janmani, Janmani. One should simply aspire to be absorbed in devotional service, even if one does not get liberation, but he has to continue the process of birth and death unlimitedly. Actually, however, to one who engages in Krishna consciousness, liberation is already guaranteed. Part of the answer to this question is in the devotee's attitude that he doesn't think that he will get liberated, and that's all right. I'm not asking that I get liberated from my devotional service. That's partly the answer of, is it better to go back to Godhead or to stay in this world? The devotee is thinking, well, I don't have a choice. I'm not going back to Godhead because I'm not so qualified. But I don't mind not going back to Godhead. As I don't want beautiful women and I don't want money and followers, I don't want to go to the kingdom of God. I just want to serve Krishna. So he thinks like that. But by thinking like that, now we hear how Krishna is very pleased by that attitude. He does not aspire to be promoted, but still he gets that advantage. He enjoys all the facilities of the material and spiritual worlds even during the present lifespan. That present lifespan means while he's in this world, he gets all the benefits of being in the spiritual world. Krishna gives him such comfort, such connection. Then Krishna says, as Lord Kapila, that these benedictions that he gives his devotees, they can never be destroyed by time. So he gives them everything. He gives them material benedictions that they may need, spiritual benedictions. As far as the devotees are concerned, their assets, the achievement of devotional service and the opulence of Vaikuntha, even on this planet, are never destroyed. It is clearly confirmed that the relationship can never be destroyed. And then Lord Kapila finally says, the devotee who worships me, I take him to the other side of birth and death. So this is his decision. This is Krishna's decision, not yours, ultimately. Prabhupada writes, how liberation is imperceptibly achieved by a pure devotee has already been explained. For the conditioned soul, there are two statuses of living, the present life and preparation for the next life. But for a devotee, there's no concern for this life or the next life. He prays, my dear Lord, it does not matter where I am born, but let me be born even as an ant in the house of a devotee. So, yes, this is the answer to the question and why there is a question. Is it better to want to go back to Godhead or not? Yes, it's better not to want to go back to Godhead. It's better to think like this, that I don't know where I'm going to go, and I don't particularly care. I just want to serve you, Lord, in any condition that I'm put in. A pure devotee does not pray to the Lord for liberation. Actually, the pure devotee never thinks he is fit for liberation. Considering his past life and his mischievous activities, he thinks that he's fit to be sent to the lowest region of hell. So if you're really honest and you ask this question, how do you feel? Would you rather go back to Godhead? Or do you want to stay in this world? He thinks, go back to Godhead, me? He doesn't think he's fit. If in this life I'm trying to become a devotee, this does not mean that in my many past lives I was 100% pious. That is not possible. A devotee, therefore, is always conscious of his real position. Only by his full surrender to the Lord, by the Lord's grace, are his sufferings made shorter. He prays, for my misdeeds may I be born again and again. But my only prayer is that I may not forget your service. The devotee has that much mental strength, and he prays to the Lord, may I be born again and again, but let me be born in the home of your pure devotee so that I may again get a chance to develop myself. So aren't these valuable prayers that we can try to fix ourselves in this mood, not in the liberation mood, and certainly not in the materially enjoying mood, but pray like this. This is to pray for eternal liberation. May I never forget you, no matter where I go. may I always serve you. A pure devotee is not anxious to elevate himself in his next birth. He has already given up that sort of hope. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that without the knowledge of the devotee, now here's the other side. We've heard of this beautiful, pure attitude of the devotee by which he's going to stay in the material world and serve Krishna, and that's all he wants. So that's his decision. Then it looks like that's what he'll do. But the last word comes from Krishna on his side. He says, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, without the knowledge of the devotee, the Lord arranges for his devotee to be immediately transferred to his transcendental abode just after leaving his body. After quitting his body, he does not go into the womb of another mother. Although he said he was ready to do that. As far as the devotee is concerned, he is transferred to the spiritual world in the association of the Lord. That's the Lord's special mercy. How it is possible is explained in the following verses. Because he is all-powerful, the Lord can do anything and everything. He can excuse all sinful reactions. He can immediately transfer a person to Vaikuntha Loka. That is the inconceivable power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is favorably disposed to the pure devotees. So Krishna wants him. I think of that story of the Brahmin who was offering the hot sweet rice, and he touched it and he burnt his finger. He was in his own world of devotional service, not exactly aware of what the Lord was thinking in Vaikuntha. But the Lord saw him, and he said, I want him back. So it's like that. When Krishna decides, then you come. And it's not a cheap negotiation, trying to do something to bring you back to Godhead, but your willingness to serve Krishna and your assessment of your situation very humbly, that moves the Lord in your favor. Well, it's still not a cut and dry quest topic. It will still be brought up and discussed in many ways about staying in this material world, life after life, to assist in the Sankirtan movement, and the other position going into the Krishna Leela. But I think these passages certainly are enlightening about the prayers of the devotee and the action that the Lord takes. In a sense, they're sort of independent and almost competitive, a loving competition. The devotee is saying, I'm not qualified to go there. And the Lord is saying, I don't care what you've done now, that's all forgiven, you come to me. So are there any questions? Yes.
Well, the Lord says that from his side, without my knowledge, that will take me back to God. Whereas I want to maintain a humble attitude and think, well, I'm not qualified. But then when I read that passage and I think like that, then I become proud, thinking, oh, well, Krishna's going to take me back to God. I might become complacent to actually develop humility and just drive.
So I said it's not a cheap negotiation. That I know Krishna's real soft. Like you know your father, he's a real softy. So you just play on his emotions or something. Exploit the heart of another person. Prabhupada says Krishna's more intelligent than you are. So it all has to be genuine. If like that, if your mind still has some, if you're too intelligent or not pure, and you hear something like this, and you figure, I got to wait to go back to Godhead. I'm going to, or I'll become puffed up, or something like this. If you become prey to these different things, then it's just another snare of Maya. That when you hear a beautiful instruction, you're so impure or you're so fallible that you can't apply it yet. So it's not for you. But if you're simple and pure, when you hear pure instructions, you can take them to heart and not get baffled by them. That's kind of a cheating mentality or a material mentality applied on the these spiritual relationships. The whole idea is a sham that, well, Krishna really values humility, so I think I'll put on a humble profile. Or I actually am humble. So how wonderful I am. These are all bewilderments. Therefore, it's not easy to enter the state of Krishna consciousness. That's therefore that we take the working attitude of just doing our duties and with confidence that we'll become purified by our workmanlike attitude, not expecting immediate deliverance to the spiritual world or to the higher states, but confident that this is the process. And also feeling, getting back to the main topic of the verse, feeling definite, immediate relief from this meeting up with what I don't want, separation from the beloved, remedies worse than disease, feeling a lot of relief from that. Although we live in this material world, Prabhupada said if you live in a devotee community, you're not really in Boston, you're not in London, you're in Vaikuntha. We can feel shelter from that. You can feel that, you who live here or wherever you live. I don't live anywhere. I go from place to place, but I always feel shelter because I just go where there are devotees. But outside of those shelters, it's very ferocious, ugra. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.